We'll do the Mishnah. We've done the Mishnah before. We're on Tev Vav Lamed Aleph. We'll do the Mishnah again, but we'll use the sheets from that we sent out last night. That way it'll be quick chazara over the whole sugya. Alright, and that's how we'll do the Mishnah that way. And then the Gemara itself really is not so related to the Mishnah. So quickly, we have the Shitas. This Mishnah discusses the case where he has a Nazir when I have a son, and then he says, in the interim, I'll be a 100-day Nazir. So, quickly, between Rashi and Tosfos, both believe that when you have 30 and 30 days of Nazirut, meaning the first case, Mishnah and Yud Gimel, they believe that you cannot cut your hair in between. Right? Because if you cut your hair in between, then you automatically trigger another 30 day Nazirut, so it wouldn't be possible to do it where, for instance, you kept 15 days of your Nazirut, and then 30 days for your son, and then 15 days for your Nazirut, and be finished up. Then you do a tiklachat, you cut once, and bring karbonos for both of those Naziriyot, right? That's what Rashi said, that's what Tosfos said on Yud Gimel. In that case, you cut your hair once, bring karbonos for both. Now this Mishnah presents the issue where it's a possibility that you could cut your hair twice. Right, that's the question. Now, as opposed to that, the Moreh, Rashi, whoever the Mefarish is bringing down as the Moreh, believes that there's no such thing as not cutting your hair. You always have to cut your hair. No Nazirut is defined without cutting hair. I mean, what does it mean that you do 15 days of yours, 30 days of your son's, and then 15 days of yours again? I mean, what's an afkamino? How do you know when one stopped and one started? Why do you, how do you differentiate? Unless you cut your hair, why is there any meaningfulness to the fact that you switch between yours and your son's, the Nazirut for your, for the one based on your son versus the one based on yourself, if you don't cut your hair in between? And because of that, the Moreh is forced on Yud Gimel to say that the Mishnah is a case of more than 30 days. He says basically it's a 50-day case, and that way he has enough afterwards to get 30 days in afterwards. Then, based on that, when we come to this Mishnah over here, right, the Rashi and Tosfos don't have a problem anymore because you have another 30 days at the back end. But Rashi and Tosfos learned the Mishnah, or Mefarish and Tosfos learned the Mishnah differently, in the sense that the Mefarish believes, right, that you're soter et hakol. Right, we saw this when we learned this together on Yud Gimel. We did the Mishnah here on Ted Bav, that the Mefarish believes if you have less than 30 days left to your 100-day Nazirut, and then your son's born, it's soter at the kol, and you have to restart and do a full 100 again for yourself. Because you have to cut your hair for your son's Nazirut, and then there won't be sufficient time afterwards, you have to restart the whole Nazirut again. Whereas Tosfos believes soteri is not soter at the kol, but rather just soter shloshim. You have to do a 30-day Nazirut afterwards. That's one thing that Tosfos says. And Tosfos also says that you do not have to cut your hair at the end of your Nazirut. So if you look quickly,
What does the Moreh say about the 15, about the 30 and 30, the first mission, the first case?
He says it's really 50 and 30, the first mission on Yud Gimel. He says it's not 30 and 30 because he needs you to cut your hair. He's unwilling to say that you can have a split in the Nazirut. We discussed that there are nafkaminos between them, even if you don't cut your hair. One of them happens to be a tuma, which we discussed yesterday with the Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, about when you become tameh, how it affects, which Nazirut that it affects, that there is a difference which one you're counting. Right, and the Rush, if you look at, the Rush is on Yud Gimel. The Rush goes through, enumerates like three or four, Yud Gimel and Bet. The Rush enumerates a bunch of nafkaminot between them. He brings Tumah as one of them, and he brings a number of other nafkaminot above Soko. He talks about three or four nafkaminot on Yud Gimel between them, when you're in yours versus your son's Nizirut. So you just look on the sheet here. So we'll do the Mishnah on the sheet. That will be fast. Right. So the Mishnah, if you look on the second row, it says this Mishnah: Arei Nazir v'sheli Ben Nazir Me'ayom, and then I'll be a Nazir 100 days. No Lo Ben Ad Shivim Lo Yifsid Klum. If he's born before the 70th day of the first one, he's okay. So you look in Mefarish. The Shloshim Hu Demiatrile, because now he has 30 days left over afterwards, which isn't a problem. Mimea. Elaminiachet Shalo. He stops his whenever his son is born. Right? Stop his.
Ooh, maybe.
That's the Mefarish. Rashi is the Mefarish here. Right? Shalo, Menet. It shall be no. Umigaleach. You do a Giluach. You actually cut your hair, umoneh shloshim kedei lashlim meah shalot. And then you do another 30 to finish yours up, umigaleah. So according to the Mefarish, you cut twice, right? Debishloshim yitbehu kedei gidul se'ah, because you have in the residual enough time to regrow your hair. Now what the Moreh needs to deal with is why we have two Mishnahs to say the exact same thing. Because he reread the Mishnah on your Gimel to say it was 50 days and 30 days. Now we have a Mishnah that says 100 days and, right, 30 days. So what's this Mishnah talking? Why does this Mishnah end any value here versus the one on your Gimel? And that's the next one, next column here is the Chitema, according to the Moreh. Yihak bov alo mayri v'nizirut stam, el v'nizir nun, lamalei demayta idach bov et v'nizirut meya. If you're going to set up the first Mishnah on Yud Gimel to be 50 and 30, then what's the point of having another Mishnah with 130? They're all the same, right? So he says, "Veshum da'at l'shmin da'at zayin lo hifsid kum da'achar zayin soter." Comes to teach you that the idea of stira, that the idea that if after 70 it comes in, you lose everything, you lose the whole first section. So the first part of the Mishnah didn't deal with that. That what happens if it's not? The first Mishnah said 50-30 and just told you you can do both of them. But it didn't tell you what happens if you have less than 30 left in the end. So that's what this mission is discussing. When you have less than 30, then you're still there. And that's why this mission is of added value here. It's not huge.
Then you have to do the 50 of it, according to the...
Oh, here it'll be 100, but you have to do this 100.
Whatever that full amount is.
Yes, yes. We'll see that in the next section. That's the next piece of the mission. But right. Now, Tosfos came up with that unusual sheet, though. Right? It'll be the next... We'll get there in a second. No problem. Now Tosfos. The Tosfos says, remember, he has an unusual sheet. Here again, he still believes you only cut your hair once. Right, so listen to this, right? Now we look at the Tosfos. The Stam Nizirut Abish Toshim Yom, the Nazir Mea Yom. So we have here a 30 and 100. Right, Nizirut and Abshay. That's his own Nizirut. Afil Hafi, Kevin the Shobano, Mubla in the Tocha Mea Yom, Olin the Shobano, Ushalo. Right, Tosfos believes that you can simultaneously count both your Nizirut and your son's Nizirut. The days will count towards both of them. Yeshlim Mea Yom, he'll finish the 100 days, V'yigaleach al Shnehem. One cutting for both of them, V'yavi Shnei Karbanot. And then after one carbon for his, and one carbon for his son's Nizirut.
Two sets of Karbanot, correct.
V'hu Adin Le'el, and also earlier on, in our Mishnah on Yud Gimel, right, it also says that actually is a case, but we have the exact same situation. What's that? Yomar Ni'arani Nazir Shali Ben, V'Nazir Yitz Kilimanot Ed Shalom. So it's a case where he has 30 and 30 days, right? It's his for 30 days and his son for 30 days. In Milad Ben Lemin Yino B'Yom Aleph. If his son is born on the first day of his Nazirut, then his Nazirut has sufficient days left in it to cover also his son's Nazirut. So they will count both for him. You'll have a simultaneous account even with the Mishnah on Yud Gimel when it's only when it's born on the first day. It's only when he kicks up his reverse. Right, because then because you accepted your son's first, then as soon as your son's born, you have to deal with it, and that's why it makes you come together. But if you had made your nazirut first, and then your son's, then we'd say you have to do them sequentially and not in.
That's really a difficult thing with me. Why? Why does the case of Nazirus Beno first force us into that situation?
Right, so
if it's an acceptable situation, let it apply in the
other case. I would say that the Rosh learned that way. If the Rosh brings a sheet up that you can, that it does not matter. The order does not matter. The Rosh brings such a sheet that the order doesn't matter. But then he quotes the Rabbeinu Tam, right, afterwards, which it says Yoter Term Mistavro on Yud Gimel, and he says that Yoter Term Mistavro, that it's only in the case where he mentions his son first, right, because the only reason to believe that there is, why would you interrupt the Nazir? If a person simply says, Harani Nazir, then we just say 30 days, it's sequential, right? So why would you even think to interrupt your Nazir?
You're not providing, there's no Svara being presented.
Right, there isn't a Svara. There's only Svara is that because you spoke about your son's birth being the trigger, and that was the first Nazir you accepted. See, in a case, right, the Svara here is that in a normal case, when you say Harani Nazir, you're addressing the first Nazir first, and the second Nazir second. Problem in our case is what he says, the person says, Harani Nazir when I have a son, and then he says, Harani Nazir. Then he starts to count the second Nazirut. He hasn't addressed his first Nazirut statement. And because that's what the problem is. So then, as soon as his son is born, he has to address that first statement. And that would have been the order. The order
it seems to be an issue of Nazirus Kala and Nazirus, and when that applies,
I don't think it's nazirut, because here we're mafsik, it's not nazirut kala al nazirut, right? Everybody agrees that they're sequential. I think the issue is that in general, when you address nazirut sequentially, you're dealing with the first statement first and the second statement second. The problem in the case where he does it with his son is that the trigger isn't available yet, and therefore he can't address this first nazirut. But then, so he starts addressing the second nazirut, but then all of a sudden the first one comes to, right, the forefront. When it comes to the forefront, he has to deal with that in the forefront, because that was his first statement. Mm-hmm. So then the question is now, what does that mean? Like, how do you deal with that? Once it comes to the forefront, how do you deal with it? So this idea of hafsaka is a new concept. Right, it's a new concept. It's called hafsaka. That, I don't have a spark for. Why do we have hafsaka in general? But that's what the mission tells us. So there's this concept, you can interrupt another nazirut. That is the fiddish, and I don't know why, that there's no svara given for why you can't do such a thing. All right. So now the second. Let's go down to the next line in the sheets here. Well, Akha Shivim, if it's after 7 days, Soter Shivim says that he uproots the Shivim, right? Saying Tikvaka Pacha Mishloshim Yom, because it's nothing less than 30 days. Now, if you look in the Rashi, Farish, the Milatri Leish Shloshim, the Leish Gilu Gidul Fair, he doesn't have 30 days left in the back end. Shein Tikvaka Pacha Mishloshim Yom. Hilkach Soter Takol. He loses everything. The whole first time is gone. Then he counts his son's 30 days. Then he gets his haircut. And then he has to go a full 100 of his afterwards. That's only true when you have a big nizirut, when you have a 100-day nizirut. But that is our Mishnah on Yud Gimel. When you have a 30 and a 30-day situation, there's no problem. What's the reason? What's the difference between right? The reason is because in the Mishnah on Yud Gimel, you only get one haircut. On the Mishnah here, because there's a possibility in the 100 days to split it up and have it be there's a 30-day residual afterwards, you get two times you're going to cut your hair. So that's going to impact on the residual. In the case in Yud Gimel, when it's 30 days and 30 days, when you interrupt in the middle, we know for sure there isn't 30 days left in the back end. So we say, well, after you finish your son's nazirut, you don't get your haircut. And you wait until the end of both nazirut and get a haircut. And then you give karbanot for both of them. In our case over here, since the 100 days has the possibility to be broken down into sections where there's a 30 days afterwards and days beforehand, therefore, if you do it in less than 30 days, then you have to cut your hair for your son's nazirut, and you have to cut your hair for the 100-day nazirut. And if cutting your hair for your son's nazirut leaves less than 30 days afterwards, that puts you in a position where you're going to not have enough days left afterwards, and you're going to lose your nazirut. It's okay, it's a kol, and you'll have to recount your 100. So that's the way the Mefarsh learns. Tosfos, on the other hand, says...
His assumption is because in the long nazirut you have the possibility of doing
right. So therefore, you have to.
But with the 30 and 30, you also have the possibility that you do to.
According to Tosfos,
anybody. No. I mean, if the baby's born after 31 days, then you have two.
No, but then there's no clash, right? There's no clash between them.
That's possible.
Right. I'm saying only the possibility of a clash, having a clash and still having 30 days left over is only possible in the longer case.
Yeah,
right. So I'll refine my statement. All right. So that's because of that, the Mishnah meant differentiate between having a tzaglacha. Now, Mefarish is the only one who does this. The Mefarish is the only one who differentiates between a Nazir Mu'addit and a Nazir Merubah. In the Nazir Mu'addit, he says you only have one hair cutting, and in the Nazir Merubah, he says you have two hair cuttings. Okay, according to the Moreh, in every case you have two hair cuttings. There's no such thing as one haircut for two Naziriyot. That's what the Moreh says, right? This is Rashi Mefarish, and Tosfos says it's always one haircut, no matter what. Even if it's a long one or a short one, there's only one haircut. That's important. Mefarish is unusual in this situation that he's differentiating between Mu'addit and Merubah. Okay, now Tosfos over here. So now Tosfos has to change the gears over here. We see that the Tosfos over here says, Logatzin and Soter Shivim Yom, Dainu Soter, Ayin. That's not true. It's not Oker, the whole Nazirut. What happens? He leaves his and counts his sons. A lot of Soter. It doesn't mean that he uproots it. He stops his count. And he counts 30 from his son. Because you can't have a Tiglach less than 30 days. Perish. Kak Ain Olim Sharya Mimshan Kuf Yomim Nazirut Beno. Once he passes the 7-day mark on his nazirut, there won't be enough days left in his nazirut to match his son's nazirut. So it starts to look like the nazir mu'etet. It starts to look like the nazir l'kach. So kuklav sik minyano. He'll stop his count. Hold the nimshach mano ayumin nazirutzo. Lashon to glachat inu mukuvan. Doesn't mean he has to get a haircut. To pay abalei the mamar. Shein nazirut pop-up mishloshim yom. Means not having to do with haircut, but there's just no nazirut less than 30 days. You're not going to change the glachat the mamar mishiyashkim shel bano. After he finishes his son, yachzir lemin yano. He'll go back to his camp. Yeshlim yizirut akul fiyom and finish up the 100 days. Yigalech b'sof kol haminyan. Again, Tom says you only take a haircut at the way end. Akad kulam al b'sof minyan divino. Ain't omi galeach. The end of his son's count, he does not get a haircut. Zimkein lo yuchal yeshlim akar nizirut shalot alech shloshim yom nizirut. Right. So that's according to Tosfos, you'll never have more than 130 days in your nizirut. Right? It'll always be 130 days. There might be a bonus. If you have more than 30 days remaining in your Zirut, you'll get the bonus that what? It'll only be 100 days between the two of them, because you'll be double counting for yours and for your son. It'll only be 100 days in the Zirut. But if you have reached already past the point of 70 days, then you'll get the 130 days. You stop wherever you are, you take care of your son, Zirut's 30 days, and then you recount, you continue your camping.
So
it looks exactly like the Muetet, the case on Yudimel. For Tosfos, this case, exactly like the case in Muetet. Whenever you stop, do your son's, and then you finish yours, and you do one haircut at the end for everybody. Buddy. So that's exactly for Tosfos, no problem. Tosfos creates as a, right, the Shitato, only one haircut in all these cases. The only difference, the only special case is this case where if the son's Nazirut is totally encompassed by the father's Nazirut, then you can say we double count. That's what Tosfos is. Right, so that's, now the Tosfos by Yushalmi, I didn't put it into the thing, but Tosfos by Yushalmi where no matter what, afterwards you do 30 days. Right? I mean, that was he brought this Yushalmi that suggested that after you counted for your son, then whatever you, afterwards you would automatically count 30 days. Tosfos says you just finish up your 100, right, and then so you'll have 130 days. According to the Yushalmi, you have to, whenever you stop after 70 days, or no matter when you stop, you do your son's 30 days, and then you have to either finish your 100, or if it's less than 30 days, you have to finish 30 days afterwards. So you can have
your toast, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, what's wrong with doing that?
There's nothing wrong with doing it, right? There's nothing wrong with doing that, but it's a... according to Tosfos, you don't need to do it, meaning that you only need to do 130 days according to Tosfos. He only has one tiglach. He talks over there about Yushalmi suggesting that maybe you have to cut your hair for your son and then cut your hair again for the big one. So he said. So that's the, alright. That's just the Mishnah here on Ted Bob. We've done it before. I just wanted to pass it over. Now what you'll see is if you follow through the Shita, like if you turn over, first of all, Rava, we discussed this yesterday. Why is Rava's Shita different than the Mishnah? So I brought it down. Rashi and Tosfos both discussed this. Why is this case different than the Mishnah? Because in our Mishnah it says, talks about a son, and we don't know when the son's going to be born. I mean, whereas in Rava's case where he says, if it'll be born, right, within the context of your Nazirut, right? And the other possibility, right, we talked about in Rava was that here you're setting a 20-day limit. When you set a 20-day date, we know for sure when your other Nazirut is going to kick in. Right, so that was the difference we're talking about Rava. Important on the other side, or on the second page, depending which sheet you have, on the other side, right, Nitma b'no, Nitma b'nei teraton, Nitma b'yom gidul se'ar, Tosfos, and Rashi and Tosfos are going to go the sheet to Tam. That what, you can have such a thing as one tiglachat for two Naziriyot. And therefore, they explain the case is pretty straightforward. The Moreh, who believes that you can never have a case of one tiglachat for two Naziriyot, has to come up with a different case here. And that's what you'll see. The Moreh for Nitma b'no, and Nitma b'me tarato, and Nitma b'yom gidol se'ar, comes up with this case that it has to be a Nazir me'ah. It has to be a case where it's 130. Because he has to, the only way he can split Naziriyot or have two Naziriyot is where there's a possibility of cutting hair. And that's only possible where you have more than 30 days in Naziriyot. So the Moreh, both in the Mishnah on Yud Gimel and in the Gemara that we learned yesterday, makes the second Naziriyot longer in order to have a residual 30 days afterwards to deal with it. Because he doesn't believe you can have one Naziriyot with one Tiglachat. So I just wrote those out so you can see that the Shitatam, everybody's consistent, right, in this approach to how they deal with the Mishnayot. All right, so now we'll continue with the Gemara today. All right, that's, since we've done the Mishnah before, I just want to pass it over it, and hopefully we'll get through the Gemara today. Amar Rav, Yom Shivim Ole Lekan Uldekan. So Rav comes up with this thing that you can have mixes of Yom Kukulo from two sides, meaning that on the 70th day, when the sun is born, right, that will count both as the 70th day of your Nazirut, as well as the first day of the 30 days for the sun. I mean, it'll be a double day. Right? It's not. So what does that mean? So if it's a double day. So I would have learned simply, and this is the way that the Mepharish learns, right? The simple pshat here is what? Simple pshat is that now you have it counts for 2 days and you'll be able to end right? And the day earlier, you have one more day. You have an additional day that you don't need to count. Meaning that you can go up to 71 days instead of 70 days now. When does it cut off for the Zirut? Before, if your son's Zirut kicks in, that you have 30 days left, that'll be on day 71 and not on day 70, based on Rav. Because since 71 can count for both of them, it'll be the first day of your son's as well as one day of yours. It'll be the 70th reverse day for you, but first day for your son. Then by the 100th day, you still have 30 days for both of you. So that would be the Nafkamina according to the Mefarsh. Tosfos learns differently. And Tosfos says that what this actually does is entitles you to cut your hair one day earlier, and that you're marviyah. Had you not, in a regular nizirut, you'd have to wait until kuf aleph on your nizirut. If it was if it wasn't interrupted by your son, you would cut your hair on the 101st day. You'd count 100 days for your nizirut, and on the 101st day, you would then cut your hair. In this instance, when you're interrupted by your son, you actually are going to be able to cut your hair a day earlier. Right, because what ends up happening now is if the day counts towards both of you, right? If the day counts towards you and your son, right? Then you have your son's going to end on day 100. Everything will end on day 100 because of that double count of the nizirut. Because of that, you'll be able to cut your hair on the 100th day instead of the 101st day. That's what Tosfos says.
Shivim is the shared day.
Right. Shivim is the first year
day. Why would I assume that Shivim Echad is the shared day?
Right. It's problematic to say that Shivim Echad. That's what the Gemara is going to ask. The Gemara is going to have a problem. The mission doesn't seem to foot with Rav, and that's what the Gemara is going to ask in a second. We'll see. But Tosfos says that the Indian is us. He says, but how could you shave on the 100th day? How could you cut your hair on the 100th day? I mean, at Torah, you're required to cut your hair on the 101st day. Why all of a sudden you get the benefit of the 100th day? So that's where Tosfos comes back to what we learned earlier, which is that really you could cut your hair on the 100th day, and you could say mitzvah Yom Kippur, and you could finish on the 100th day. There's a takanas chachamim only to cut on the 101st day because of shleimim, because of counting full in case you take a nether of shleimim, right? Complete days. So therefore, we tell you to cut on the 101st day. So here, the chachamim went back. They were okra, the takanah went back to the original. No, the rice, because you have this mix of Yom Kippur on both sides, and they were making on this case that you can cut on the 100th day. So that's what Tosfos says.
I mean, if you 71 is day one for the other one, right? Or is it no?
It's day 70.
Day 70, right? Okay. Right.
That's why you end up with.
That's why the 30th day is. So day 100 is really
the end of his 30 days.
It's the 30th or it's the
31st. It's going to be the 31st day.
Right.
Whatever you can cut for your son, since you cut for your son, we're going to let you cut for your 100th day as well. Right. That's what Tosfos says. The finish is here. Right. Mefarish learned simply that, all right, so you count for 2 days, so now you have an extra day more than the.
I don't remember when any time when you specify a term.
Parpados suggested over there when you say Harini Shloshim Yom, it's Ki'ilu Omar Shleimim, but that's not necessarily true. That we don't necessarily hold it. You might have to say Shloshim Yom, like Shleimim, right? I don't know if that.
That would mean that if he says 100,
right,
that automatically
wasn't 100 slain. Right, so the Gemara over there said, it's as if he said it, although there was a machlokas in the Girsa in the Gemara there where they actually said it explicitly, slain him, or did we just imply through his statement that he did say it? But that is, right, thank you, Shaul, that is a good point. All right, so now back in the Gemara. Amar Rav, Yom Shivim Ola L'Kan L'Kan. It's not. So our mission, Lola Loat Shivim Lo Yisid Klum. Yisak Adaf Ola L'Kan L'Kan, Yitzgure Midgar. What do you mean? If you think that this is a Yom Kippur, it counts both ways, forget about he's not losing anything, he's actually gaining. According to Tosfos, he's able to cut his hair a day earlier, and according to the Mefarish, he can actually wait till day 71 before it cuts out, before he soaks it. Right? So what do you mean that he didn't lose anything? He actually gained. The second after the Mishnah, you didn't have to write the ratio. Because after 70 days it cuts it off, so it wrote in the ratio, eno soter in the ratio. So I mean, it should have written, you're right, it should have written marviyah, that he gained. Right now, shivim tani, ratio, soter, shivim tani ratio, shivim. So in the beginning it also talks about it. So the Gemara says, all right, now, I skip a line tomorrow. I think didn't know the little bit shivim. Moshum the tiny sefer achar shivim soter shivim. Right. So the Gemara says soter shivim tiny ratio shivim. So and the ratio should also talk about 70 because of that problem. So the Gemara says tashma mi sefer. Let's learn from the sefer. Noah achar shivim soter. Right. If he's born after the 70th day, then what? It ruins it. Shivim. Right. Why shivim? So why would you say Shivim? So there, Shivim, you could go to the 71st day, which is what your question was. Like the Mishnah says, 70 days. According to the Rav, according, if you can count the day towards both Naziriyot, then even if you're on the 71st day, you still have 30 days left, because you'll count day 71 itself will count towards your son, and it will get you to the end of your Naziriyot. So why did the Mishnah say 70? It should say 71. Why 70 the cutoff? So the Gemara says, my achar, achar to achar. Meaning after 70 days doesn't literally mean after 70 days, but after 70 days, meaning 72nd day. If you're on the 72nd day, it's going to ruin it, but not on the 71st day.
Why did you give an example of 71 and give 71 to come out perfect?
What?
Why did you give an example of 7 days that the baby's born on the 70th day? You give an example of 1.
So it says, achar shivim, after 70. Meaning, what is after 70? After 70 doesn't work.
It should say after 71.
Right. That's what it really means. It's that. The answer is a round number. It's after 70. So it really means achar achar.
It's not from the someone else who uses achar achar.
Yeah, yeah, it is true. Yeah, the Gemara Shas points that out, that in Nida, the same thing. Gemara Shas says that. Gemara Nida does a similar thing. About achar mamash. My. What about if it was really the 71st day? Afanami de los Sotar, it would work. On the 71st day, it would work. So, Yofi, my area. Again, by the way, the Gemara is trying hard now. It's going to lose it. In the end, it's just going to say, Rav, Rav can't fit into our Mishnah. You're asking questions. The Gemara is trying to stuff Rav into the Mishnah. In the end, it's just going to say it doesn't work. But I'm just, we're reading it through, trying to pretend like we're getting Rav into the Mishnah. Right? So, my area, right? So then, my area, the tiny Nolad, Achshivim, Lo Yisid Bum. All right, so that works for Achshivim in the Seif of the Mishnah. What are you going to do with the Reish of the Mishnah? It says if he's born until 70. Right? Afilu Achshivim Nami. Even after 70, it still works, because even up to the 71st day, it works. So, why in the Reish do you say he didn't lose anything until he gets to 70? He doesn't lose anything until he gets to 71. 71's the cutoff. Must be that it's afterwards. And guess what? Our Mishnah is a proof against Rav. Meaning that Rav cannot hold like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah doesn't work. According to Rav, our Mishnah should have said 71, and 71 should have been the cutoff. Meaning that 72nd day won't work anymore. Up to 71 days would work, and that's not what our Mishnah says. Our Mishnah says 70 days. So Rav is not like our Mishnah. All right, that's fine, but Rav is an Amora. So if Rav's an Amora, and he's not going like our Mishnah, he needs a Tanaic source. Rav Tano Polik, the Gemara does use in certain instances, but it's rare. Tosfos discusses why in some places do we say Rav Tano Polik, in other places we say Rav Tano Polik, we treat him like an Amora. What? Not only when we're stuck, but he says it's in certain cases. But Rav is really, the reason Rav is Tano Polik is because Rav is a Talmud of Rebbe, and he's on the borderline of the Tanoim and Omoraim. Right? So he has his wavering status.
Transitioning generation.
Chances of being asked, though Tosfos asks, why didn't Shmuel have that? Rav and Shmuel are contemporaries. How come Shmuel doesn't have that status? There are, when we get to those areas where we have Rav Tano Polik and the Gemara, we will discuss it there. All right, but here the Gemara doesn't go that way. But Rav came on out of the Shmaitik. Okay, so Rav, who is he? Where did Rav come up with this concept? Based on who? So Ilema to Abishol, maybe it'll go like Abishol. The Gemara is going to go now into two different Gemaras, have nothing to do in the Sirut. We'll discuss them, but from each of these Gemaras, the Gemara is going to prove that there's an idea of Mitzvah Yom Kippur twice on a single day. It's not a Kovered Neto, Shloshi Yom Yom Kodem Aregel. So a person, this is based on the Gemara Moed Katan, the Mishnah Moed Katan, that a person buries it 3 days before the Regel, can observe 3 days of Shiva before the Regel. The Tale of Mimenu, Gzeret Shiva. Then he, if he finishes up 3 days prior to the Regel, then he doesn't, Shiva's gone. Shmona Yom Kodem Regel, if he buries the 8 days before the Regel, then he does all Shiva plus 1 day of Shloshim. Daily Men of Zeret Shloshim. And then he loses out Shlotim. Umuto Lesaper Ever Eriva Regel. He can get a haircut. Because of Kvoda Regel, he can be Oker the Shloshim and get a haircut in Eriva Regel. If Losiper Ever Regel, also Saper Acha Regel. If he didn't take that opportunity, meaning that he was offered an opportunity to cut his hair for Kvoda Regel, he doesn't take up that opportunity, it does not knock off Shloshim, and therefore he can't cut his hair afterwards because he maintains the Shloshim. He didn't, he was afforded that option to cut his hair, and he didn't take it up. Since he didn't take it up, then he remains in Shloshim until afterwards. All right, that's the Mishnah. Now, Abishol Omer. Abishol says, Afilu lo siper kodem haregel, mutum safer achar regel. Even if he doesn't get a haircut before the regel, he can cut it up, and he can do it after the regel. Shiv shim mitzvah shloshim avatelet gezerat shiv'ah. Just like if you kept 3 days in Shiva, it would be knocked off the regel, they would knock off Shiva. Kach mitzvah shiva avatelet gezerat lavi. So, when you keep in 7 days of Shiva, that knocks off shloshim. So the Abba Shobel only requires 7 days, and then it cuts off the shloshim. My time is Abba Shobel. La, mikshum tasavar shviolo lekan lekan. Because why? On the seventh day, you finish up your shiva, plus you start your shloshim. So therefore, only 7 days is sufficient to start your shloshim. And once you've started your shloshim, that's enough to cut off your shloshim when you hit the rega. Where it says, Dilma ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Shmuel Babilus Zayin by Shiva Derabonah. The Shiva is only Midirabonah. And Abba knows you're Deoraisa, but we're talking about a Nozu that is Deoraisa. Maybe he would not say, Mexazayom, that's Olekan, Olekan. That you have a day that is half belongs to Shiva, half belongs to Shloshim. That we can say by Shiva Derabonah. But we have a zero to say that one day or 70 days belongs to both your Nozer and Zeroes. And your son's nazirut, that we can't say. All right, now a couple points we'll make here quickly. One is avelus derabonah? Is avelus really derabonah? So the Gemara throughout Moichata and in other places says straight out that avelus is derabonah. The Gemara wherever it plays, it says that avelus derabonah. I haven't seen a major machlokus. Right, in the time to go on him, continues through to the Rishonim, about Avelus the Yom Rishon. Avelus on the first day, is that the Oraisa or the Rabbanon? So they go on him and discuss this, whether there is, the first day of Avelus is the Oraisa, and then afterwards the remaining 6 days is the Rabbanon, or all 7 days the Rabbanon. So the Rambam continues in the Shita of the Geonim there that say that it's 1 day is the Oraisa and then the 6 days are Dirabonah. The Tosfos, the Tosfos found in Moed Katan, says no, that Shiva is, and that's generally the post-Biashkanaz, believe that all 7 days are Dirabonah. Why it comes up is because Gemara in Moed Katan says that what happens if Shiva comes up during the Regal? So, or the regal comes up before it, and you have come into the regal, what we're seeing here, the regal is Oker Shiva. So what does the Gemara say? It says that Simchas a regal, and it's Oker, Simcha the Rabbi, is Oker Avelus the Yochi. That's Tosfos S over there, right? Tosfos says, why didn't the Gemara go up and say, oh, right, the rice is the Rabbanon. So therefore, both, that's going to turn out to be their Shita, or they're going to be consistent in their Shita. Tosfos believes today, Simchas a regal is only the Rabbanon. Okay, we'll talk about that in a second. All right, 1 second, we'll get that. Just let's talk about Simcha now. So Simcha Tzayregel is that today, you know, right? So Derabbanan, that happens to be my focus Mishonim, right? Most Mishonim believe that it's only Derabbanan. Why? Because Gemara Pesachim and Arvi Pesachim says Ain Simcha El Basar V'Yayin. There they're talking about Basar Shlomim, right? Basar Shlomim. So there are no Karbanos Yayin. There's no Simcha. So that's what Tosfos believes. Tosfos believes that Simcha is Derabbanan and Avelus is Derabbanan. So that's what the Chacham says. Why does the Regel cut off the Avelus? Because you have Simcha Derabim, Derabonah, and not Sef Avelus, Derabonah.
It's still hard to start with Derabonah, as opposed to Shiva. We don't have the Makor, right?
Alright, so you have the Makor Derabonah, so what you were saying. Right, so that maybe that's harder. Although, you could say by Avelus the same thing, because Anidus is Derabonah. So. Alright, so Anidus is Derabonah, and Avelus is the post, Anidus process, so there is a basis for that. Alright, now, so the Rambam, on the other hand, believes Simcha Saregel is Deoraisa today. It's still Deoraisa. He says, Ain Simcha Basar Bayayin, even when there's no Basar Shlomim, there's still a requirement of Simcha Yom Tov today, Deoraisa.
You have to say that it's first Deoraisa.
Right, so that's why, because he believes that Avelus is Deoraisa. So therefore, that's why the Gemara didn't say, Simcha Deoraisa comes and acts up Avelus Deoraisa. The Rambam doesn't say it, because he has Avelus Deoraisa also, on the first day of Avelus. Is also Doraisa. So he says, the Gemara says, Simcha Derabim, Doraisa comes along and knocks off Avelus Deyofid, Doraisa. So they're consistent in their Shitos in that way.
First day.
What? Well, with regards to the first day, right? With regards to the first day. So the big Nafkamina, yes, excellent question. The big Nafkamina actually comes on the last day of Yom Tov. When you have, what happens if you have an Avelus on the eighth day of Yom Tov? On the eighth day of Yom Tov, Frank tells us nothing to talk about. When you have a second day of Yom Tov, the eighth day for a Chutz La'aretz, so the mace is buried. Like in their day, they did not keep. Today we wait throughout the Yom Tov to bury the mace. In their day, they didn't wait in every refrigeration. They buried the mace. They had Goyim bury the mace on either Yom Tov, or they had Goyim, they were hired Goyim to do it. They buried the mace.
So there was a, you come into a position where you now have an avelus on the 8th day of, say, Pesach. Pick the 8th day of Pesach, right, where you have put cards on the 8th day of Pesach. That is only Darabonim, right? So now, according to Tosfos, that's not a problem. You have, continue to have a mitzvah of Simcha Darabonim, and that stops avelus from Simchao, because avelus is not Darabonim. But according to the Rambam and his Siyatel, right, the one that says that avelus is alright, so now what do you have? The person was buried on the 8th day of Yom Tov. Avelus starts. Avelus is Doraisa in the Torah. And you have the Rabbanan who are saying what? Oh, you have a regel in the Rabbanan. So there are those, the Baha'i brings down possibility that you would have Avelus. You would possibly have Avelus on the 8th day of Yom Tov because of that. Alright, I just pointed out these are interesting nafkamim to come out of these two shitos. It's Mar Moi Katan. We'll get there in a while from now, but it's good to just review. Now, the other thing to review here is that Gemara believes, which is not the halacha, that you need 3 days of shiva in order to be the regel to be okra. Because the shiva goes through a process, right? It's close to the bichi, right? Shiva, right? The mistake. So there's 3 days are the hardest part. The first 3 days of avelus are the hardest part of the avelus. And even there, there's different rules for the avel itself, right? Whether you can greet that. The Gemara there says that a person shouldn't visit the avel, shouldn't even do from avelim during the first 3 days. You should try to do it in the last 4 days, there are special rules. So there, the Gemara reads that only if you got through those first 3 days would be regularly appropriate. We believe, right, it's all lawful, we pass against it. Yeah, anything. If you do any shiva prior to the regel cuts it off. All right, so that's the,
Right, we say if it's Simcha is only the Zerusha, then the first is Zerusha, the Rabbah, and it's a problem 3 days.
No, because the mix of the Yom Tov would still apply even by a
Yom Tov. 3 days, the second day and the third day is the Rabbah. On the shiva.
Oh, what are the 3 days according to that? Yeah. Oh, that's just because
they still
the Gemara still differentiates between three. Even if you hold the first day, the right,
the
3 days have
sometimes because the chag is deraisa, and then day 2 and 3.
Right. Okay, so that's fair. All right, so that's just this. Now we lost that proof. That's not a good proof. We got a little quick some chazara in some issues in avelus. All right, now we're on to El Rav, the Amar Rav Yossi. Now Rav holds like Rav Yossi, so now we're going to introduce another issue, which is a Zava. Tanya Rav Yossi Omer. So now, this is just quick Chazara and Nida. Today, Nida, right, is different than what Nida is, Doraisa. Nida Doraisa is a woman sees Dom, she does Dom, she's Tamei for 7 days. This is everybody besides the Rambam. Let's leave the Rambam out. But all right, all the Rishonim besides the Rambam believe that if she does Dom, 7 days, you are Tamei. After the seventh day, on the seventh day, she goes to the mikvah, and that's it. That's the end of Nida. Then we enter a period called Yemei Ziva. Yemei Ziva are 11 days. These 11 days, if a woman sees Dam during this 11 days, she's what's called Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. Every day that she sees Dam, she has to wait a subsequent day to Tahara in order to get up, to be Tahor, to return. She goes to the mikvah and waits the second day, and she's fine. That's it. If she does that one day, that's fine. If she does it for 2 days, that's fine. If she hits 3 days in a row where she sees Dam, then she becomes what's called a Zava Gedola. A Zava Gedola, which is what we're closest for today, has to wait Shiva Nikim, has to wait 7 whole days of Nikim, then bring a carbon on the 8th day before she can become Tahor again. So now we're talking about a woman here that is in those 11 days in Ziva, and she saw Dam one of those days during the 11 day Ziva. So what's she doing? She saw that day, so the next day she waited about halfway through the day and went to the mikvah. And so halfway through the day, she went to the mikvah. As far as we're concerned, once the sun sets in the day, she's tahor. Right? So she went to the mikvah. Now what happens if she does something in that interim part of the day where we're assuming she's going to be tahor? Right? Then later on in the day, after she went to the mikvah, and we assumed that by the end of the night she'd be tahor, she sees blood again. Sees Dom again. That's going to ruin the fact that she was tahor. So now, is that true or not true? So that's it. This is what the Tanya. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shiyom, Er Yom, Keneged Yom, Shishach, Tubizarko, Lev, Mishini, Shiloh. What happens? A woman saw Dom one day. Then on the next day, she was keeping herself for Tara. She went to the mikvah and happened to be Erev Pesach. It was Erev Pesach, and they were shepherding the Korban Pesach, and they included her in this Korban Pesach. Shishach, Tubizarko, Lev, Mishini, Shiloh. The Akra Kachra to Dom. Then she sees Dom after they got the Pesach her. Azu and Ochelet, she can't eat the Korban Pesach. Why? Because now she's Tamei again. When she saw the Dom again, she's back to being a Zava Katana, right? So now, Upitura Maso Pesach Sheni. But she doesn't have to bring a Pesach Sheni. Why does she have to bring a Pesach Sheni? When she sees the blood at the end of the day, we realize that she really wasn't Tahor. If she really wasn't Tahor, when they shechted the Korban Pesach with her, she shouldn't have been included. Now, Korban Pesach is an unusual Korban. This is what comes out of the Gemara Pesach, a very unusual Korban. Most Korbanos, right, when you do Zrikas Adam, you don't have to be Roi to eat the Korban. If you do Zrikas Adam, someone does it on your behalf, no problem, even if you are Tamei at the time. Right, that's not an issue. Korban Pesach is different. Korban Pesach, at the time the Korban Pesach is brought, you must be Roi L'Achila. You have to be able to eat the Korban Pesach. Right? You have to be thick, you have to be able to eat the Korban Pesach later. If you don't functionally eat the Korban Pesach, you still yotze. But you have to be able to eat the Korban Pesach when it's finished after. So that's what we have here. The woman, what, they sprinkled the dam. At the time they sprinkled the dam, she should have been able to eat the Korban Pesach. Later on, we find out she's not able to eat the Korban Pesach. So why does this work? So the way to read in this next line in the Gemara, right, is what? Is a little difficult. It's a machlokas here in the Farish and Tosas. So my time to Rabbi Yossi, La Mishum Dosari, Mitzvah Say Yom Kikulo. That it's a Mitzvah Yom is Kikulo. Why? So what does that mean? That the first half of the day she was Tahor. The second half of the day she became Tameh. Meaning that we split the day in half. Half the day she was Tahor, half the day is she's Tameh. So when they shechted the Korban Pesach on her and the day, half of the day that she was Tahor, that was good. She could have eaten at that point. She could have eaten the Korban Pesach afterwards. But now that she sees the tumah, she can't eat it, but she was yotzei the Korban Pesach, therefore she doesn't have to bring a Korban Pesach sheni. Now, so this next line in the Gemara is my focus here. So Tosfos reads, does the easiest way to read this, is actually that it's one statement. Right? Why is it mitzvah say yotzei kulo mishum kasar mikana lahava hu mitame? Because Rabbi Yossi believes that tumah is only prospective. Tumah does not work retroactively. It only works prospectively. So therefore, when she became Tameh, she's only Tameh from here forward. She doesn't go back and make the whole day Tameh. So that's an explanation for why does Mitzvah Say Yom Kippur work? Because Tumah only works Mikana Lahaba. Tumah is only prospective, and therefore you can say the first half of the day she was Tahor, the second half of the day she was Tameh. That's the way Tosfos reads it. That's the simplest way to read it. The Rashi reads it, no, that this is a question in the Gemara. Gemara says, how do we know Yol's Mitzvah Say Yom Kippur? Maybe the reason that it doesn't work over here is because Tumah is only Mikana Lahaba. The reason that she was Tahor in the morning and is Tameh the afternoon is because Tumah only starts from the time that she sees the Tumah, doesn't retroactively go back and make the whole day Tameh. So that's why Rashi learns it as a challenge to the sense that it's Mitzvah Say Yom Kippur. Tosfos learns that this is the explanation for why Mitzvah Say Yom Kippur works.
According to the first thing, you don't have to say Mitzvah Say Yom Kippur.
Right.
To say that she's still Yom
Kippur. Tameh Mikana Lahaba. Right, exactly. That's what the Gemara says. So now, all the questions of Gemara are going to depend on which way you just read the Gemara. The Gemara has questions on this. Umi Sava Rabbi Yossi Halki. Does Rabbi Yossi really hold this? Vatanya, we have a brain stop. Rabbi Yossi wears Zav Bal Shtei Riyot. So now here, another little Azav. Azav is someone right from season emission. Right, their Azav can be, have one, two, or three emissions. Right, in the first emission, he's the equivalent of a Bal Keri. A Bal Keri has to go to the mikvah, and then when the sun sets, right, he has one yom. He has one day that he has to do, and he's Tahor. He's only Tameh for the day that he sees the Keri in, goes to the mikvah, and then sunset he is Tahor again. A Baal Shtereo, the Zav sees two scenes, right, if he has two sightings, those two sightings make him Tameh for 7 days. He has to count 7 days of Tahara, and after the 7 days, right, then he is fine, he can go back, goes to the mikvah, and he's fine. Then there's a Baal Shtereo, the Zav sees three sightings. It is the same as a two sighting, one day he can keep 7 days of Tahara, but he also has to bring Karbanos on the eighth day. That's the difference. That's what the Gemara in Megillah says. The Mishnah says, "Ein bein zav shteriyot the shloshriyot that ela karbanot lo bat." That is being karbanot. So now what happens? You have a baal that has two sightings, right? Sheshachtim zarkol abishvi. So he has to keep 7 days of Taurus. He's on the seventh day. He went to the mikvah on the seventh day. He expects when the sun sets on the seventh day, he will be tahor. B'chein shomert yom kineged yom. That's our case over here. A woman who was also keeping that one day. Sheshachtim zarkol ab. She went to the mikvah, expects to be tahor tonight. Bachkar ra'u. After they went to the mikvah and they shechted the Korban Pesach, and they saw, Afal pi shemitamei mishkav u'moshav le'mafreya, even though what's their mitamei retroactively, meaning that the whole day is ruined. Right? Nevertheless, Peturim laso Pesach sheni. They still don't have to bring a Pesach sheni. So we have two problems here. One problem is Rabbi Yossi says that the Tumah goes retroactively. So how could you say, now according to Tosfos, that means how could you say Rabbi Yossi holds mixes of Yom Kippulo? We see that he doesn't hold too much Lahava, he holds too much Lamafreya. So that's one, according to the Mepharic, it's the other way around. They're asking a question, how could you say that Rabbi Yossi says Mikan Lahava too much? It must be that he holds mixes of Yom Kippulo. That Mikan Lahava is not an explanation for Rabbi Yossi, because we see he doesn't hold Mikan Lahava. So Lamar says, no, my Lamafreya, Mefreya is me Dirabana. That's only Dirabana. The Tuma that he's coming, Lamafreya is only rabbinic. But Midoraisa, Tuma is only prospectively. So according to Tosfos, we're still thinking Rabbi Yossi holds mitzvah say Yom Kippur. According to Mefarish, we're still saying that, no, he holds Mikan Lahava, therefore he doesn't have to hold mitzvah say Yom Kippur. So I said, Hakanami Mistaba, this makes a lot of sense. These Sakadakta Midoraisa, if you thought Tuma is retroactively is Minatora, I might turn Maso Pesach Sheni. If Tuma is retroactive Midoraisa, then why do you call to me Pesach Sheni? Then if the Tuma goes retroactively, it ruins the Pesach Sheni that you brought. Right, so Olam, the Gemara says, no. Olam Eimelechva, Tumah Doraisa, right, to home, to Ziva Heitiru. Right, so there are two different ways to explain this. Right, there is a tour. We know that by Korban Pesach, right, that there is a tour for Tumas to home. Tumas to home is where you have a grave that's buried way underground, and a person crosses over that grave. It's called Tumas to home because people are not aware of it. Tumas to home is where nobody knows about the Tumah. We only found out about the Tumah after the fact, meaning that a person was named Tameh, but it was a Tumah that was unknown to anybody else. Tumas to home is a term that the Gemara uses in general. Whether that applies to any Safek or only to Tumas Meis, right, is a question. So the way the Mepharish learns over here, and Tosfos learns over here, as a Machlokes. If you look at Tosfos, he says, "Alacha Moshe Misinai, the Tumas Meis to Hutra Lasi Pesach, Vaitana Sarele the Afilu Tumas Tom to Ziva Hutra Lasi Pesach." What's Tumas Tom to Ziva? When you have a Safek, when you have a Safek by Zav, or a Safek by a Zav, a Zavah, in each of these cases, that's called Tumas Tahom. When you don't know what the outcome is going to be, that's called Tumas Tahom. And Allah Moshe Misina that you can bring a Korban Pesach in that instance. That's the way Tosfos learned. The way the Mepharish learned.
At the time
they brought the Korban Pesach, assumption, we didn't know that they were going to ruin their camp.
You see what I feel. That's the basis for allowing, because even though we know there's a possibility that something later on
could happen,
but since at the time, that's unrevealed, let's say.
Right.
So we allowed them to be included in the Korban Pesach.
Well, not that we allowed there. They could have tried to be in the Korban Pesach. What we allowed them to do is not bring the Korban Pesach shame. Meaning that it doesn't ruin the fact that they joined the Korban Pesach. Right? We don't say it ruins it because at the moment they brought the Korban Pesach, they were suffering themselves because we don't know if they're going to make it to the end of the day or not without a re'eel. And then because at that moment they were, that's a lot of Moshe Mishinai when you're in that situation that it works. Whereas the way the Mepharish learns, it's not a lot of Moshe Mishinai, it's just that any suffering. Whenever at the moment that you're bringing the Korban Pesach there is a suffix, right, then we say that the Korban Pesach that you don't have to bring a Pesach Sheni. As long as at the time that you brought the Korban Pesach the assumption was you were Tahor and everything was good, if that gets ruined later, that's not your problem. That's the way he learns. But the way that the Tosfos is learning is that it's Halacha Moshe Sinai. This is Halacha whenever you have a too much to home. Any suffix in Ziva, that's okay. But what Mepharish learns is if you have anytime, I'm afraid I might kill about 100 times. Tumah to home ziva yitzir. The kaven device shata nishkata kati have a kaimat tipas dam b'mekor shel isha. The time that he rejected the Korban Pesach, the blood submission still hadn't taken place. But yet to the chutz, aniba mixes sayom kikulo. Therefore, it works over here to have mixes sayom kikulo. Even midoraisa, even though you're going to be tami l'mafreya, at the moment that you did it, you were tahor. So that's fine. Since you were tahor at that time, it's okay. Right now, so now the tanya, Rav Rabbi Yoshi sover l'mafreya midorabonon. Rabbi Yossi also holds that when we say Rabbi Yossi said to Mafreya, he means only midrabbanan. The Tanya Rabbi Yossi Amar Aroes Zav Bishvi Shelo. Someone who sees a Zav, Aroes Zav Bishvi Shelo. So it's lifting up. A Zav on his seventh day that has a sighting on a seventh day of Tara has a sighting. He ruins, right? He ruins everything before it. Vamalei Rabbi Yochanan Mister Eli Yomo. Why should he have to ruin all 7 days of Tara? Just ruin the day that he's in. So Manasha, he sater kulu sater, right? So when it says Manasha, if it ruined his 7 days of Tara, if it ruins it, then he should ruin everything. Because why just in today? I mean, Rabbi Yochanan says, why should it only ruin the day? What do you mean? If it ruins it today, you don't have Shiva Nikim anymore, and you need Shiva Nikim. So it should ruin the whole thing. Ilo sater, if you believe it's not soter, lo nistor, below yomo. It shouldn't even ruin its day, then you had Shiva Nikim, and you're done. Elema lo nistor below yomo. Right? It shouldn't ruin it or its day. Rabbi Yochanan is saying that you're done. You had your Shiva Nikim. Once you get to halfway through your seventh day, you're done. So Rav Yossi says to Rav Yochanan, you, Rav Yossi holds like you. What does that mean, Rav Yossi holds in Kodamar, that when you have a sighting on the end of the seventh day, you already had Shiva Nikiyam. Why? Because you counted 6 days plus, what? Plus half of the seventh day. That's Mitzvah Yom Kukulo. And since you're only Mitami Melakana Lahaba later on in the day, you're done with your Shiva Nikiyam. Then Rabbi Yossi said that Tumah goes to Mefreya. Myla Mefreya, Dirabonon. Rabbi Yossi says Mefreya, it's only be Dirabonon. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yochanan are saying the same thing, that Mitzvah Sayyom Kukulo works on the seventh day. Rabbi Yossi, Mitzvah Sayyom Mitzvah Sayyom Kukulo. Well, if that's the case, then Rabbi Yossi says that Mitzvah Sayyom Kukulo, Zaba Gemura, the Maisa Kavan, Hechim Mishkafasla. How can you ever have a Zaba Gemura? What's the requirement for a Zaba Gemura? That you says 3 days in a row, she has sightings. If you have 3 days in a row, you have sightings. How do you ever have a case for 3 days in a row to sight it? Whatever. Every time you see or you have a sighting, you already have mixes of your own batara, and then you fix it, that they're disconnected. Every sighting is disconnected from the previous sighting. What?
You have to do an action.
Right. Oh, that's a question whether you have to do it. Right. That'll be a question. We had this makokas earlier, whether you need an action or not. Right. That's a makokas, whether you have to actually go to the mikra after taking action.
Right.
So but if you believe Tumah is only kind of the haba, it doesn't have the mafre, it never connects it because every time you'll always have a break in between the two. So Mark gives a different answer. Whenever you see half a day, the other day, whenever you say the second half of the day, the first half of the day will count towards her tara. So Gemara says, Ibai is saying, Makoma de Shofa Tlata, right, Tlata Yomi. She is what? She's citing nonstop through the 3 days, meaning that she has a continuous flow. So there's no such thing. There's no break. The same makes you say Yom Kukula or the Ibai, the other. Ibai is saying, Makoma de Shofa Tlata Yomi, some of the Shkia Sakama. Her sightings are right vanish much, just meaning that they cross the 2 days. And every time she cites it, she cites it the first day, plus she cites into the second day, and then she cites on the second day into the third day. So you never have that opportunity to say that she is a mixer sayom, that is the Tara. Right? Some of the Shkia's comments only shows the Shlokla Minyana. She never has any time here where she can start counting Bitahara. Right? So she never has a moment. So Tosus over here discusses a very famous Rashi on this in Sachin. Rashi over there says, in general, when we say Mitzvah Sayyom Kukulo, we believe Mitzvah Sayyom Kukulo starts in the morning. How come at Shiva we don't say? On Shiva, you have the night before the seventh day of Shiva. Why don't we say Mitzvah Sayyom Kukulo? So if you started by the time, if you sit Shiva at night, how come we don't say the guy's gone with the Shiva? Why do you have to sit Shiva during the day in order to get Mitzvah Sayyom Kukulo? So that's the general principle that most people, all the Rishonim hold, that Mitzvah Sayyom Kukulo only has completion after Alos HaShachar. After Alos HaShachar, then you say Mitzvah Sayyom Kukulo. Mitzvah Sayyom Kukulo never starts in the night. Rashi and Pesachim says, based on this Gemara, that Mitzvah Sayyom Kukulo starts at night. So this is Shkia Sakama, right. So talking about Shkia Sakama, why is Shkia Sakama relevant for Mitzvah Sayyom?
I was thinking actually really the Gemara, that if she wakes up in the morning to find that she had a Ziva, then that would cause it to be considered continuous.
Right.
And the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says Shkia Sakama.
Right, so that's Rashi. That's why Rashi over there says Mitzvah Yom Kukulo even starts at night. All the Rishonim disagree with him. All right, we're going to run out of time here, but all the other Rishonim disagree. Tosfos here discusses the opinion of the Rebbeinu Tam, and the Rebbeinu Tam says that you could actually have Shimur Batara either in the first half of the day or in the second half of the day. So even if you saw in the first half of the day, there's a possibility that you could keep the second half of the day Batara, and that would stop you in between the two. So by seeing it, right, Mitzvah Yom Kukulo. Therefore, what? Seeing it at Shkias HaKama ruins that possibility of having the Tara in the second half of the day. That's why the Rebbeinu Tam explains that according to his sheet, that Mrs. Yom Kukulo only applies during the day.
So
the first day, he saw it in the morning. Then she wants to keep the second day of the Tara. She sees it right at before Shkias HaKama, she starts to see it. So it ruins the second half of the day being the Tara. And then into the next day, now she saw it in the beginning of this day, so she didn't start the Tara. But the second half of the second day should also be Tara. Then she says again before Shkias HaKama. So that's what it's ruining. It's ruining the second half of the day, not the first half of the day. Right, that's what he's saying. Either way, that's what Dana Palm says, that you need a mix of Yom Kippur to work either way. And he proves it from our Gemara, and he says that's how you have to learn the Shkia Sakama aspect over here. All right, we'll stop here.